You got to get out more. We're looking at how do we navigate technology and spirituality in a day that is very challenging. Now, what I'm going to offer today are the 10 commitments of tech-wise people, tech-wise families. This is from Andy Crouch. And I'm going to invite you to make a commitment today. You'll be able to actually go online at Become New, because online can be a good place to be when it's used well and rightly. And say, so I'm putting a stake in the ground. For the rest of this series, I'm making all 10 of these commitments, or you can just choose one if you're feeling a little bit wimpy. But we want to really take quite seriously, how do we navigate our lives wisely so that we can gain a heart of wisdom? The most important educational advice to parents that has been given in the history of the human race was also the central text of Israel. It was called the Shema, from the first verb, hear. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them. Talk about them. When you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So it's using technology, but it's hand technology and head technology and gate technology and door frame technologies, ways that will deeply engage the participation of other human beings to love God with our whole selves. So here are the commitments from Andy Crouch in his little book, The Tech-Wise Family. And I want to invite you to think about them. We'll have them available online through Become New so that you can review them. And as you consider them right now, what do you want to commit to? Not forever, just while we're doing this series for the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. And then you can decide beyond that. Number one, we develop wisdom and courage together as a family. And of course, that's precisely what Moses is writing about when he talks about Deuteronomy 6. And that's what can get lost so quickly with technology, where we end up just doing this. Andy writes in another of his books, The Life We're Looking For, our devices increasingly compete with real persons for our attention. A friend of mine went to visit his 1-year-old niece. She had recently learned the word, nah, remember that? And was using it stridently when people in the room started to look at their phones rather than remaining engaged with one another. Even the slightest glance at a screen would prompt urgent cries of, no, 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 from his niece. And yet, he told me, I still find myself sneaking glances at my phone. The personalized world of the screen makes it feel personal, personalized, somehow held a power over his attention that the child before him did not, even as she cried, no, no, no. So that's number one. We develop wisdom and courage together as a family or whoever is in your immediate life. Number two, we want to create more than we consume. So we fill the center of our home with things that reward skill and active engagement. Think about place and how you designed the place where you live and what that elicits from you. Being made in the image of God means that we were made to produce, and that's central to us. People used to have names, Taylor, Carpenter, Cooper, Smith, that reflected the work that they did, which is such a glorious thing to do. So you might have in your house an instrument like a piano. We have a little person around that loves this ukulele that we'll put out, or a surfboard, or tennis rackets, or golf clubs, or tools. I have chairs right outside this office. I put them together myself because I have tools that my friend Dr. Chuck made sure I got. Might be cooking, might be plants, might be art, but whatever it is, we want to create more than we consume. Number three, we are designed for a rhythm of work and rest. So one day a week, 1 hour a day, 1 week a year. Again, 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year, we turn off our devices and worship, feast play, and rest together. Can you do that? 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, 1 week a year. One of the people I'll be talking with in this series has actually created an app to help people not be addicted to their apps. Very cool. Number four. We wake up before our devices do, and they go to bed before we do. We wake up before them, they go to bed before us. This is from William Law and his little book, A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. As the morning is given to you, the beginning of a new life, as God has then given you a new enjoyment of yourself and a fresh entrance into the world, it is highly proper that your first devotions be a praise and thanksgiving to God as for a new creation. Receive, therefore, every day as a resurrection from death. You could have woke up dead this morning, but you didn't, or you wouldn't be listening. Receive every day as a resurrection from death, as a new enjoyment of life. Meet every rising sun with such sentiments of God's goodness as if you had seen it and all things new created on your account. Oh, God made the sun for me today. Let your joyful heart praise and magnify so good and glorious a creator. Okay, so that's number four. We wake up before our devices do. I don't begin my day by doom scrolling. And they go to bed before we do. I end my day in gratitude and prayer and dependence on God. Number five, we aim for no screens before double digits at school and at home. In other words, we seek to craft places at home and in the schools. Talk more about this. Jonathan Haidt's book, Anxious Generation, has much to say about it. A lot of research around technology and children. But that's our aim. No screens before double digits at school and at home. Number six, we use screens for a purpose and we use them together rather than using them aimlessly and alone. I don't make it something that I become dependent upon as a way to avoid solitude and myself and my life with God. Number seven, car time is conversation time. I remember when our kids hit adolescence and it felt like we were just chauffeuring them all the time. A friend of mine named Tom, where I was serving in church, talked about, you know, when I have the kids in the car right now, they're like a captive audience. And I realized instead of that time being an obligation or a nuisance, actually it was a golden opportunity in those years when they are grown up so fast and will be quickly gone to be able to engage in conversation because there's nowhere else to go. Now, that was a little different day. Now we have those little screens. So to say in the car, the screen goes away. If you're riding shotgun in the car, you know who you are. Put the screen down. Car time is conversation time. You make that commitment. Just do this series. Number eight, spouses have one another's passwords and parents have total access to children's devices. So here, the idea of accountability, which is so crucial to spiritual life. How do I live up to my values? Well, I need to have somebody that I make arrangements with. These are sometimes called Ulysses pacts from that story in Ulysses where the siren song was going to lure him, tempt him in ways that could be real destructive. And so he bound himself to that mast so he could not get away. My friend Rick particularly plays this role in my life where there is nothing that he does not have access to. And when electronic stuff became a big enough part of life. And I said to Rick also, you know, you can have access to my computer and see anything on there that I'm looking at. So that's number eight. Number nine, we learn to sing together rather than letting recorded and amplified music take over our lives and worship. You might be thinking, well, that sounds goofy. Or, I'm not a very good singer. I won't take the time to read it now, but William Law, chapter 15 in his book, A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. You're probably not going to read it. It's a little bit densely forbidding in its language, but he has this marvelous section about how our souls and our bodies are united. And so when it comes to the Psalms, they often used to be sung. To sing and not just say them does something that we use our bodies to do to uplift our spirits. Like, why is it that when it's somebody's birthday as I'm recording this today, we will gather together, we will not all say, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. We will sing it. Why? Well, something happens to your spirit when you're singing. And it might just be when you're alone. It might be when you're in the car. You might want to do this with other people. Sing, don't just depend on amplified music. And beyond that, think about how do I use stuff I can do with my body to bring joy to my soul? For example, very difficult to remain depressed if you skip. And there's actually been some research around this, as well as wise people have told me this. If you don't want to sing, go skip, dance, do something with your body. Number 10. We show up in person for the big events of life. We learn how to be human by being fully present at our moments of greatest vulnerability. We hope to die in one another's arms. Not today, not ready for that to come today, but that thought that at those big moments of life, to be present with one another for those kind of milestones when it is somebody's birthday, when a birth comes along, when somebody gets married, when a friend suffers a loss and there's someone that dies, to be there present for them and to have that goal to say, you know, people often talk about how do they want to die? Do they want to know ahead of time or so? But to be able to be together. Dallas Willard used to talk about, I wish you a radiant life and death. Even though the circumstances of it, the physical pain, what happens to my body might be quite awful and miserable to go through, but to be able to go through that in relationships of love and to walk with the people in my life through something difficult. Okay, so those are the 10 commitments. They could be the 10 commandments. I'm doing them through this series. I want to invite you, put a stake in the ground. You can share stories with others of us at Become New on how this is going for you. This is all to help us do what that command said to people, and particularly parents and children, because technology, parents say, number one thing that's making parenting harder in our day. It's really pretty simple. It's really quite simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. You should get out more.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes from John. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to access all of our videos there or subscribe for the emails that go with each video. But my personal favorite way to stay in the loop with Become New is by text. We will send you a text message every morning that we release a new video with the title of that video and just the link to the video. So if you want that, you can text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 and we'll get those messages to you. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. So you can text or email us your prayer request at 855-888-0444 or at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll see you next time.